Chaz and AJ in the Morning, 99.1 PLR. On this day in 1969, Arthur Wicknick was in Vietnam and about to experience one of the most famous battles of the Vietnam War, Hamburger Hill. He has a book out about it called Nonsense, but he's going to take us through right now.
Well, the Eshow Valley is a very fertile valley along the Laotian border in northern South Vietnam. And that was also a major infiltration route for the North Vietnamese Army to bring supplies, material, and men through. So the 101st Airborne knew we had to go in there and cut off those supply routes. And during that operation, which was known as Apache Snow, elements of the 101st Airborne ascended Hill 937, which was later dubbed Hamburger Hill.
How many men in the 101st Airborne?
Oh, gee, that's a whole division. So, I mean, you're talking 30, 40,000.
Quite a bit.
Quite
wow.
a bit.
Yes.
Wow.
But for this operation, the initial first day was a company, which is about 125, 130 people.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like a lot to for this task.
So it sounds like small, yeah.
Well, they weren't sure what they were getting into. That's the issue.
Right.
So after the first day, they realized, hey, there's a lot of enemy soldiers up on this hill. So they called in a couple of airstrikes and did some artillery strikes and then tried to go up the hill the second time and met even more opposition. So they called in more reinforcements, another company, another 125 guys. So now there's a couple hundred guys. And they tried to assault it again. You know, we tried to assault it again. Couldn't make it up there because the enemy kept fighting back.
And you're climbing, literally, it's an uphill battle.
Right.
Correct. This is a 70-degree slope.
Ooh.
So it's pretty steep. It's like climbing up a barn roof.
And it's like a jungle, right?
It is a jungle. So
this has to be one of the most brutal battles
right.
in the history of Vietnam, right?
Well, it was the last major battle of the war. You know, there was the Aya Trang Valley, which was in 1965, and then there was a couple of other large battles. But most of the battles in Vietnam were ambushes and of small concentration of enemy soldiers, and then they would just disappear. Because this was a protracted battle, it went on for days. You know, after about the fourth or fifth day, CBS News got a hold of the story and started talking about it on the evening news.
We have different strategies now, and I wonder if they come from this particular battle. I mean, the strategy now seems to do airstrikes for days or weeks to really soften it up to make it a lot easier for the ground troops.
Yeah, pound them first.
Oh, absolutely. That's the way to do it. You're going to always have to go back in and see what's left behind anyhow. So you might as well prep the area, devastate it as best as you can, and then check it out.
At what point were you going up this hill?
When I arrived at the base of the hill, my entire company, 135 guys, so when I got there, it was the day before the final assault. And now we had roughly 700 guys all strung out around the base of this mountain. We pretty much had it surrounded. And you're talking a mountain. This had the height was 3,000 feet.
Whoa.
The area covered about a good square quarter mile is where the battle area was.
So when you're there and before you do this massive assault, I mean, everybody knows how brutal it's been. No one's showing up. Yeah, what are we doing today?
Cakewalk.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows, like, this is the one where I might not make it out.
Yes, absolutely. No one went into this thing thinking this is going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Because the night before the assault, the North Vietnamese, the enemy, had fires, cooking fires going on the hill, and they were banging on pans, and they're shouting down at us, come up and get us, we're here, we're waiting for you.
Now, they're saying this in another language, which makes it more
taunting you, yeah.
Well, some of it was a different language, some of it was in broken English, so they, you know, we knew they were there, they knew where we were, so at night, nothing was going on, but as soon as the sun came up, then that's when the activity all started.
It was on, yeah.
Yes.
You know, when you're about to go into something where you think this might be your final moments, what is going through your mind?
Well, actually, I never thought that. I never thought that this is where I was going to die. But there was a couple of very distressing commands we got just before we assaulted, and the first one was fixed bayonets. And we were all So we were told, you know, if you have to, you're going to be in hand-to-hand combat. And then the other command was, we are not taking any prisoners today. So if an enemy soldier raises his hands, shoot him.
Gotcha.
So I think a lot of guys were nervous, scared, but no one wants to show that. No one, we're not trying to be macho, but we're also don't want to be considered a coward.
Yeah,
right.
And there's nowhere to go anyhow. We're stuck in the situation. We have to go.
And we think of these people, you guys, as men, but you're boys, right?
I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I was a squad leader in charge of 15 guys who were, some of them were teenagers.
Right.
What we did is, as soon as the sun came up, we had about a two-hour artillery barrage. And every fire base in the Ashaw Valley was firing on that hill. There was so much ordnance dropped on that hill. As a matter of fact, over 1,000 tons of bombs were dropped, and 140 tons of napalm was dropped on that hill.
Jeez.
And so I get to witness all this, so it's quite a firepower display.
Well, one of the things that I don't know if anyone just grasped what you said when you said 2 hours. When you see the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, that's maybe 5 minutes.
Right.
For 2 hours.
Non-stop.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's unreal.
Yeah, and we're sitting there, and the ground is shaking. Trees are falling down up on the hill. There's explosions. There was not a moment without an explosion somewhere on that hill. So as soon as the bombardment stopped, we moved out into the open, and we were told to put down what's known as suppressive fire. So all of our guys are all firing at the hill. And that's an effort to keep the enemy's head down while we can get close to their positions and then take them out one position at a time. So I ended up in a bomb crater with another guy. And the other guy, you know, we're just shooting at the hill. We don't have any targets. I don't see anybody. I see smoke up there, but I don't know if that's from the fires from earlier or from some of the artillery. So I'm just firing kind of wildly at the hill. And suddenly he gets shot in the leg. Holy mackerel. You know, there's somebody shooting back. Because there's so much firing going on, you could not tell if it was us doing the shooting or the enemy, but apparently the enemy was up there and still shooting back. So a medic comes along, takes care of that guy. I move over to another bomb crater. I looked around for a target, can't see anything, so I just start shooting again. You know, and I'd fire off 20 rounds. I'd put another clean magazine in, fire off another 20 rounds.
And then, how many bullets did you have?
We carried 20 in a magazine, M16 magazine, carried 20 rounds. But we also doubled up on all of our ammunition. I had on me around 250 rounds of ammunition. They were all, you know, strung across my chest in bandoliers.
Yeah,
so, I could picture that.
Yep.
That goes fast, though.
Oh, yeah, and then I'm thinking, I better save my ammo because I don't know how much I'm going to need.
Right.
So anyhow, I popped up a third time to fire, and suddenly something blinded me. And when I reached up to check my eyes, something hit me in the chest and knocked me backwards. So I knew that I had been hit. I didn't know if I was shot in the face and the chest or one or the other. So I'm laying there on the ground thinking that this is the end of me because my chest was really hurting from whatever hit me.
Yeah.
But I can't see because there's something in my eyes. So I'm laid there for a few seconds, and the pain in my chest was getting worse. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm going to die, can't I just go easily? Why do I have to suffer first? Finally, I got whatever was in my eyes out of, you know, I cleared my eyes. I can see. And I looked down at my chest, and I'm on fire. There's flames coming off of my cloth bandoliers. So I beat those flames out. And what I figured what had happened is when I popped up, the enemy soldier saw me, fired at me, just missed my face and hit the dirt in front of me. And that blasted the dirt in my eyes. But when I exposed myself, it hit me in the chest with a tracer round. And it didn't have enough impact to go through all my equipment, but it lodged there and it was burning. And if I didn't get that fire out, I would have probably exploded.
Right. All the ammo on you.
Oh, yeah. So that's when I looked around. I said, man, this is dangerous. So I looked. I saw my guys were strung out, and I jumped up. And I said, follow me. We're going this way. And I just took off running up the hill.
The Battle of Hamburger Hill. Art Wittnick was there. He was on his way up the hill. got hit in the chest. Turned out to be a tracer round that didn't go through and kill him. So he gets up off the ground. I think most people at that point would say, yeah, let's go down the hill. He did not think that. Art?
It was all instinct. So I said, come on, guys, we're going up this way. Follow me. And I took off, and I'm running up the hill. And you know, it's also 90 degrees heat, and I'm getting dehydrated, but without realizing it until I hit the top. But I'm jumping over enemy, abandoned enemy positions. There's equipment strewn around. There's a couple of bodies here and there. Man, I just kept on going. So when I got all the way to the top, I looked around, and I turned to tell the guys, here's where we're going to set up. And nobody was there. Nobody followed me.
Oh, Lord.
They just let me go. So no.
That sucks.
Yeah, just a little.
It's a little like when John Belushi ran out of the house
right.
and no one followed him at
right.
Animal House.
Come on,
yeah.
guys. Where's the
yeah.
guts?
Yeah, but he was able to go back in.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can't remember yeah. that going, I meant today.
That's unreal.
So I just hunkered down, and as soon as I sat down, all of that adrenaline just drained out of me. And I couldn't move. Now I'm afraid that if an enemy soldier came along, he was just going to shoot me.
You're a sitting duck.
I'm a sitting duck. I can hardly, all my strength is gone. I looked down the hill, and I saw guys working their way up toward me. It turned out to be my guys. So when they got close to me, I flashed them the peace sign, because the enemy never did this. And as they came up close to me, they're looking at me, and my face is, I look like a raccoon because of the dirt that was in my eyes.
Right.
And I get a big burn spot in the middle of my chest. So they're looking at me like, gee, Sergeant Wicknick, what the heck happened to you?
Did you yell, it's about time you got here?
Right. Yeah.
I wasn't kidding before, you idiots.
Right.
So, well, basically, that's what I did. I said, where the hell are you guys?
What?
I said, you just let me go up here.
Hello?
And I said, well, we were getting shot at. Well, no kidding.
Everybody
we
all
die.
Yeah, we all were. It's Cold War.
Wow. So they kind of looked around, like, you know, shrugging their shoulders. Oops. You know.
Sorry, our bad.
Were you at the top of the hill?
Yes, at the very top.
See that?
Well, the thing of it is that the top, you know, it's not just one little, it's not a little tiny peak. It's a big area.
Yeah.
It's probably the size of a football field.
And you made it there first.
Well, first in my unit. I don't want to say I was first overall because there's other guys. There was guys there for the entire 10 days of the battle who deserved that credit.
Gotcha.
So and the other unit, that was the those guys, they took most of the casualties. You know, we lost 72 young men.
Sorry.
In that battle.
Yeah.
And nearly 400 wounded.
Unreal.
But within, I don't know, 3 or 4 days after the battle, we abandoned the hill. And that really frosted the American public. That really set things in motion there was already protests going on, but that really solidified the American public's disdain for the war. You know, if you're going to take ground like this, you're going to expend all these lives, especially in a 10-day battle, and then just leave it?
That's when you know, like, you don't have to be a military professional to know mistakes are being made. Big
Correct.
Ones, big
Correct.
Mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's no real regard for human life. But it's pretty incredible. I'm getting chills that I'm talking to someone who made it to the top of this hill. I've heard about this hill my whole life. I heard about the battle, and here I am talking to you who made it up to the top of this hill.
Walk
it's
the walk.
Really,
yep.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Because, you know, I think about the guys who did this, and I remember watching, when we were working our way up the hill, and before I got shot, I was watching guys going up off to my right, and these guys were just working their way up there. I saw guys throwing grenades at bunkers and shooting into bunkers. So the enemy was right there. And I'm thinking, man, these guys are so brave. You know, I kind of I ran up that hill because I was scared.
Yeah.
Somebody was actually shooting at me. So I had to get the hell out of that spot.
When things settled down and you were at the top of the hill, was there an American flag? Do you stick it in the ground? What was there anything
well,
like
I'm,
that?
I'm, what, the only thing I saw was somebody had grabbed a piece of cardboard from a medical box and wrote on the back of it Hamburger Hill and then stuck it to a tree stump. And then someone else came along and put a little note on the bottom to ask the question, was it worth it?
Wow.
So, you know, I'm looking at that and I go, gee, I don't know what to think.
Right.
You know, it's our job as military people, you know, if the enemy's there, you go after the enemy. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we can't leave. I can't go anywhere. I can't say, you know, not today, guys. I don't really feel like it.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay down here with you guys.
I'm not into it today.
You guys head up there. I'll be over here.
I'm not feeling good. I'm not 100%
today. You follow orders. So you do what you're told.
I got a terrible headache.
Right,
yeah.
Now, no one would know at that point, was this going to be a strategic turn? You know, because we now have this hill, will the war end, and we saved lots of lives by taking this? It's interesting to me that the question was being asked before there was any distance from the battle and knowing.
Right. You know? Well, the question obviously came from one of the grunts, one of us, you know, one of the young kids that took the hill.
Yeah.
He put that note there probably because so many of his friends were killed.
Right.
And like I mentioned earlier, the third of the 187th of the 101st Airborne, those guys were the ones who took the brunt of the battle. They lost the most people. So, you know, it was just a devastating event.
This is just such a great thing to have you on before Memorial Day weekend, because there's hot dogs, there's hamburgers, there's family. But this is really something we need to reflect on, is that we have the ability to have these picnics because of brave men and women like you and the sacrifices that you've made and those who didn't come back have made. And that's what the weekend's all about.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. One of the things that I don't like to be called as a hero, there are two heroes in my life, and they are the men and women who put their lives on the line and never came home. And the other hero is the families who have to live with the loss of those of their kids.
Right.
I'm getting choked up here.
No.
Well, it's an honor to speak to you. And you're welcome here anytime. And thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Arthur
thank you.
Wicknick, Vietnam veteran and my hero.
Thanks a lot.